Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Come with me on a journey into the mind, into the misunderstood and mysterious world of neurodiversity, into a place of daring discovery and desperate darkness, but also, you know, fun. Come with me if you dare, into the Muroverse.
Hello, my dearest companions on our journey into the Neuroverse. Welcome back to our trip into the mind, where I, Colin Holt, take you on a little journey into my own neurodiversity and possibly yours, with ideas, musings and tips on how to navigate this oh-so-dreary neurotypical world. It's not dreary, it's full of wonder. Come on. Come on, Colin. That's called a blurt, by the way. If you've read The Artist's Way, and you must... If you are doing your writing, your thinking, or talking, and you say something negative, you go, blurt, because it is a blurt. It's a blurt. And that's fine to do a blurt, but, you know, the problem is sometimes the blurt becomes the thing itself, and then you're like, now I'm just blurting. So don't blurt. Believe it or not, this was meant to be a succinct introduction, but fuck it. You know what I'm like. I go all over the shop. I've got ADHD. Thank you. That was very brave. I did a gig last night. That's why I'm all giggly and silly. And why I'm talking posh. I've got to work out this posh, not posh thing. It's very weird. But is it good? Maybe it's a good thing. I'm on stage. Look, I've gone Nottingham now. I jump between Nottingham and this weird sort of posh creature that I've invented. I did it in a sentence then. Right, don't go away. We're a minute in. Fuck, I can feel you literally switching off. These are my often very unresearched thoughts and discoveries that will take, what I'd say to you is take anything that helps and just discard the rest. Do you know what I mean? Much like life. Don't take any of this as gospel. I'm not qualified. I don't know what I'm talking about. I've got ADHD. I think I'm autistic. Deal with it. Got aggressive out of nowhere, didn't it? Sometimes I just chat to you like I'm doing now. Sometimes I have an interview with someone I can help or I think can help me. I don't help them, God. Although, you know, occasionally I think, are you all right, mate? That's called sort your brain out, mate. I do that every now and again. There's meant to be a plan. The whole point of this was meant to be a plan. I'm 2 minutes in and it's all fallen apart. What happened was I got set up. I'm right, here we go. Come on, we're back. We've got to keep this podcast going. I was going to quit. More on that later. And then my wife's at the gym. Fuck. She's at the gym. That's her one break away from my sort of constant, you know. And so I like to give her the gym time. But I thought I'll get this done while she's at the gym. Then I make the mistake of looking. I've got her on Find My Phone so I can find her at all times. Not really. I don't. But I don't think she's ever bothered whether I am. But I like to check, say she's coming back at night, you know. Check she's okay. But I'm just trying to say I don't have to know where my wife is at all times. I'm not one of those men before you think I am. But I thought I'd just check. Where is she? She's on the bus. I can see the bus moving. Fuck, on the map, on the G map. Find my wife. No, you can't have an app called... I was going to say that's a good idea, an app called Find My Wife, but that's literally, yeah, not good. That's whoever gets that is a bad man. But Find My Wife, I screamed to the phone. Find my wife! And yes, I could see... I can't see the bus, obviously. I mean, that would be really... We're not far off that. We're not far off that. Mr. Elon Musk, if you would. I want to find the bus on the map, but... I could see her moving along, so I'm like, she's on the bus, she's on the way back. And I'd very, you know what I said to myself was, with this pod, because I'm sure it must be very annoying and I really want to grow it. If you think back to episode one, the whole point was to try and make me an income so I didn't have, you know, so I could relax a bit, so I could do more sort of writing and be a sort of bohemian artist. I'm like, yeah, the pod will pay for everything, you know, rather than waiting for someone to give me a job like an actor, you know, not like an actor. I am an actor, but I mean, someone says, do you want to act? And I go, all right, if I must, if I can. I'm not sure I can. I think I can. Don't say that. Just go, yeah, I can do it. Do you know what, though? On a side note, and we'll do I'll try and make a note of this. The whole thing about acting, so much of it is just going, yeah, I can do it. Yep, I can do that. And very rarely do you think about if you really can, or even if you really want to, partly because you're skint at all times. But there is something in life, isn't there? A lot of that self-help stuff you get is all about, you know, learn to say no. I'm not sure who this guy is. I'm really having fun now, by the way, guys. I hope you are. Learn to say no. Do you know what I mean? Tim Ferriss, who's very good. A lot of the self-helpy guys, you've got to be careful because they get all red pill and you know, they think they're in Fight Club or some shit. But Tim Ferriss, I the stuff I've seen so far, I'm waiting for it to go wrong, but it's quite helpful. But one thing he says is, you know, I don't understand that, or no, I can't do that, part of your vocabulary, you know? So you sort of just, no, I don't actually know what you mean, rather than constantly going, yeah, I know. But the thing is, being an actor, it's very hard to have that confidence. That's why so many of them are just so fucking posh. I mean, not just because they can afford to do it, but also because they've got the self-confidence to sort of be like, yeah, go on then, tell me what the job is, maybe I'll do it. I'm trying to become more like one of those people. I was trying to do that with the podcast. Okay, that was the intention. The best laid plans of Mies and Mon fall to shit very easily, and so I find myself looking at the phone. Bad error, because I can see on find my wife, and she's there, she's coming. Do you know what I mean? It's like, what's that scene? It's like what scene am I thinking of where someone's come marching down the corridors? Nurse Ratched. My wife's lovely. She's so lovely. I love her so much. But, you know, I know when she gets in, we've got a lot to do. A lot of house stuff and all that. Oh, man. I've talked myself into a right bind, haven't I? Anyway, I literally was about to hit record then. I've looked at it. I haven't looked at it properly. I've written a load of stuff, which I think is good. If a little controversial, you might, there might be some complaints. There probably won't. No one's listening. But the second, literally the mouse was hovering over the record button. Phone rings. Waitrose shop's coming now. Fuck. He hasn't come yet, but he could be outside right now. He could be listening to this. Afraid to knock. Bless him. Oh, God. He's afraid to knock. He's outside. Little chap. Lovely little fella. I don't know. It could be one of the bad ones. They're generally all right. You know, they like to talk, some of them, which is all right, you know. But I don't know. I mean, saying that, quite a lot of them, how has this happened? I'm talking about Waitrose delivery men. I've got a whole structure, guys. Why do you do this to me? So some of them, you know, some of them do the chat thing, which, as a neurodiverse person, thank you, very brave, I do the chat thing, stresses me out. I like to, you know, I very quickly start talking about Mother and the Ghost House. If you've listened, you know what I'm talking about. And I make quite a lot of people, like, if you're neurodiverse, and you probably are if you're listening to this, or at least think you might be, do you find yourself struggling with chat, you know, chat, and you're quite quickly, you're like onto the, you know, you're onto the hardcore, heavy, emotional, philosophical kind of thing, and it's wonderful. And when you get a like mind and you're both doing it, oh, wonderful, and the whole day could just pass. You become like Socrates or whatever his name is. Well, yes, it's Socrates, Colin. Aristotle. I can't remember. I feel like one of them was good and one of them was bad, but that was based on a Batman comic I read getting on for 30 years ago. So I don't know how true that is. I don't know how true anything is. That's the other thing. Right, if you're still with us, well done you. We're getting onto it. So we've gone on this map, this journey. I was probably starting something else there and I forgot, didn't I? No, we're all right. We've gone on this journey. I hope you've enjoyed it so far. We've gone through the mines of misinformation. where you know, we talk about how being neurodiverse, you can be even more vulnerable to that kind of awful misinformation, you know, lies, fake news and so on. We face the many-headed hydra of indecision where you're like, fuck, what do I do next? I'm really having that today. I've got a big to-do list and it is an ugly thing to look at. It is not pretty, my friends. So it's been a while. I did 3 Sort Your Brain Outs in a row. Did you enjoy those? I hope you did. We talked to Joe Wells, autistic comedian. Jono from Sheeps, to give him his full name, thinks he's autistic. I think he said that in the thing. Yeah, we had a good chat about that. Big comic book fan. And Izzy Sutty, my oldest friend. Well, not my oldest friend by a long stretch, but I feel like she's my oldest friend. Also, we grew up very close together, so I feel like we've always psychically been connected, if you believe in that sort of thing, and I don't. But she, yeah, I found that day, so I recorded 3 in a row. I'm just going to be overly honest with this. I recorded 3 in a row, and I found it, I was in a really good place. I think I was talking to Jono about this. I had this weird thing where, from an Incredible Hulk comic, where this character called Joe sort of takes over his mind while he's Bruce Banner. I'm losing a lot of you, I get that. But I sort of, that sort of happened to me, and I had this character who just didn't give a shit. Just everything, you know, not that he didn't give a shit in a, like, I don't give a fuck, man, way, but just, like, anything came into his brain, he was like, yeah, all right, whatever. You know, I could just deal with it. Water off a duck's back, shall we say. And then the day of that, oh, God, there was a death of someone I knew, and there was, and then it was the day before my brother's anniversary of his death, and I was fine. And then suddenly I came in to do those 3 interviews, and I felt completely, Joe in my brain had gone, this wonderful sort of coping mechanism, I guess, which I developed, which was really making life very lovely. I was feeling very easy at ease. Suddenly very stressed out. I was worried with Joe that I get it wrong because he's, you know, because I think I'm autistic, but I'm still trying to find out. Joe is autistic and talks about it a lot and is part of the community and all that stuff and knows what he's talking about, which clearly I do not. And then Jono, that was fun, and is, it was all fun. I think I just felt, you know, you can just, you're on a train a lot of the time, aren't you, in your mind? You go chicka-chicken, 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 and sometimes the tracks just change, and you're like, whoa, where are we going? Where are we going? This isn't the train I thought I was on. I guess it's just called conversation and discussion. Anyway, long story short, I ended up talking to my therapist about it. I said, I think I'm going to stop the podcast. He likes to push the podcast. I don't know if he listens to the podcast. I'm slightly nervous that he does. But anyway, but he said, I said, you know, I don't think I'm good at it. I can't do those interviews. I can't do them. And I'm not saying this for you to all come and go, no, Colin, you're wonderful. You're wonderful. I mean, if you want to, that's fine. But that's not why I'm doing it. And I'm sorry to all the people who I haven't given a shout out. Patreon, thank you, all the Patreon subscribers. And people have sent me various things. Absolutely bonkers stuff they've sent me. And I love it. Someone sent me a photo of their drawers. Not in a sort of old-fashioned, old-timey bloomer way. Pants, you know, but it, as in the drawers where they'd all tidied them up. Thank you. Yes, too much information for me to reply to, but it was lovely to get. Thank you for that. But I said to my therapist all this stuff, and I said, I don't think I can do it. I think it's over. It's over. What a fool. Why did I think I could do such a thing? And he said very simply, you know, sometimes people just cut through the shit. That's why you want therapists, really. They just cut through the shit. And if you can get therapy, fucking get it, man. I mean, it's 40 quid a time, and that's not expensive. That's quite good compared to some. But then I think, well, I mean, I've stopped drinking, so that helps. So, like, well, that's a night out, isn't it? That's one night out a week. And that therapist can solve your week, mate. Anyway, and he just said, well, are you an interviewer? And I said, no. Am I? No, I'm not. And he said, well, have you interviewed a lot of people before? And I said, no, never. And he said, well, there you go. I said, oh, yes. Oh, yes. OK. Then we get into the whole, like, maybe I could have prepared, thought about it, actually put some time into it. It's all good. Joe's building my shed. That's getting done. Everything is wonderful. I bought a tiny little Wolfman from a shop. It's Lon Chaney Jr. Wolfman. Tiny little guy I've got next to me right now. And he's really bringing me up. So, yes, So this week, we are entering the planes of paralysis, which is where it all just gets too much. And you go, I can't do any of this. Why have I set myself up to do this? I can't do any of this. And often the planes of paralysis, you're lured in there by a massive cake. A massive, delicious looking cake, right? Think of the cake that you love the most. A carrot cake for me, probably. Maybe a coffee cake, because you get cake and coffee. It's brilliant. It's two for the price of one. And then you get a coffee. I'm trying to cut down on the coffee. That's not helping. Anyway, you see this cake and you think, I can eat all that cake. I can eat it all. But the thing is, if I eat it all, I have to keep eating it. So the first cake's all right. I haven't worked out this metaphor. I'm sure you're aware of that. First cake's all right. Yummy cake. That's exciting. I'll have more of those, i.e. I'll set up a podcast. But then you don't just go, I'll have a little bit of cake and then I'll relax and I'll enjoy that cake. You go, I'll eat all the cakes, i.e. I'll set up this podcast every week. And then, I mean, now, obviously, I'm in a sort of slight mourning, M-O-U-R-I-N, blah, 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 phase, where I'm after having done 12 of these, or whatever it is, 13, I'm now like kind of in a slight state of, oh, what was I doing? What was I doing? Because I ate all the cakes. I tried to eat all the cakes. I said, I'll do this podcast and I'll also do that one. Then there's that one. Then we'll do that one. I'll eat all the cakes. My dad used to eat all the cakes. He used to love this bit of my stand-up that I talk about. He used to love having a whole Christmas cake at Christmas, but sometimes not even at Christmas, you know, and he'd just eat the whole thing. He'd sort of take out his front dentures and then his bottom jaw would just sort of unlatch like a boa constrictor, an anaconda. Just the whole thing would just go in at once. It's better if you can see that bit of stand-up. Come see me do stand-up. So, yes, I set up all the cakes, and then the problem is you eat all the cakes and then you feel very sick and you realise you can't eat any more cakes, and then the planes of paralysis have drawn you in. They've suckered you again. I'm suckered again. Now you're frozen. You can't move because you've eaten too many cakes. You're heavy as a rhinoceros. I went to Marwell Zoo the other day, on a side note. Rhinoceri, if you get a chance, just spend a good half hour looking at them. Wonderful creatures. So beautiful. And they're a creature which I think is sort of considered ugly. As in, you wouldn't want someone to say you look like a rhinoceros, would you? I suppose, in this culture that we live in. But in a way, maybe you do want to look like rhinoceroses. Fuck, they're so beautiful. The way they move, the shape of their body. Oh, they're just I sound like I'm getting a bit horny for the rhinoceros. And then I made a horrible pun, didn't I? In fact, one of the rhinoceri, his horn was facing the wrong way. So it was more like a sort of, what was it like? More like a fishing rod, if anything. I don't know why they have the horns at all. I guess it's for battle. But beautiful creatures. On that note as well, if you get chance, if you're really getting stressed out like this, like you've eaten too many cakes, you've given yourself, when I talk about cakes, I'm not talking about cakes, but sometimes it can literally be cakes. The idea of the thing is so exciting. It's twinged your ADHD so much. You're like, up here, I'm going to do all these things. It's going to be wonderful, you know, and everyone's going to scream my name in a good way. Not like, Colin! Oh, God, we're back in the ghost house. Abort. But what was I talking about? Oh, yes. So you've eaten all, you've had all these ideas. I can do it all. I can eat all those cakes. And then you've done it and you've made yourself ill and sick. So you stop and you're stuck in paralysis. How do we get out of the planes of paralysis? That's the question. We got in there because we had too many ideas. And then also, God, there's so many things I want to talk about. The problem is they all kind of sucker into one. So I'm going to break it down. I've tried to break it down. Rejection is a big thing. That can cause a lot of paralysis. You know, I've got this great... So what really caused my paralysis? And I'll talk about this proper in another issue. Issue? Yes, fucking issue. What really got me was the automated Skynet of Acast messaged me and said, oh, sorry, you've been denied Marketplace Plus. And it said this is an automatic thing because I haven't got enough downloads for this podcast. Weirdly, though, I think I'm set up so I can get the money. I don't quite understand it at the minute. Hopefully, Andrew, my lovely producer, will sort that out. And don't worry, we'll get there. We'll get there. But, well, we say that, but there was a moment where I was like, oh, fuck it. I'm just going to stop the whole thing then. I'm just going to stop the whole thing. I've had it. Why am I doing this? And it's an automated message. It's not even a human. But it felt like rejection. Rejection sensitivity disorder. Everyone, apparently, I watched a thing the other day where apparently 100% of people who are ADHD have it. Which reminded me of when I did my Anna Mann show all about depression. And I had a line that was like, over 100% of people at some point will be depressed. That's one person out of every person in this room. Oh, God, I'm laughing at my old jokes. But it not even a joke, because it's just most of my jokes aren't jokes. They're just a weird way of saying something. So I think the Waitrose man is here. It's almost the perfect time for a break. So we got into the paralysis. And partly it was because I had a windmill week. Round and round, so many different things happening. You know, I have a lot of strings to my bow and I don't like it. I got to be honest, you know, my agent and such are always, it's brilliant. You do acting, you do comedy, you do writing, you do podcasts. It's great. And it is great because there's, I guess, potentially keeps me busy. And there's a lot more options. There's a lot more opportunities because any one of those things, you know, at any point could be doing well. But the problem is I don't think I want that. I think what I really want, and my wife denies this. She says, if you stop doing stuff, you just get wound up and you want to do stuff again. For example, if I don't do gigs, I get very wound up. I'm in a great mood right now because I did a gig last night. But I do, there is this thing where I'm like, oh, if I was just like one of the poshies and I just believed in one thing I could do and I just put all my energy into that and made that really good, you know, but it, The fear that I'll drop the ball on something else, or the fear that that won't work. So I need to also have all these eggs in this other man's basket. What? You get the idea. So anyway, it was a windmill week. I went up to Nottingham. Oh, God. The Waitrose man is here. We'll be back.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello. Welcome back to Into the Neuroverse. That was a break enforced by Waitrose, if not sponsored by them. Not sure anyone's sponsoring me. I don't know if you heard, but I was rejected by Marketplace Plus. I don't understand it. I guess that's, it's one thing being rejected, it's another thing being rejected by an automaton, and it's a third thing being rejected by a thing you didn't know existed in the first place. And you didn't know you had to not be rejected by it. Is that worse? I think so. It was very painful. But anyway, it left me in the plains of paralysis. Because, oh yes, I was having this windmill week. a Windmill Weeks, which reminds me, do you remember Wild Boys? Wild Boys, Wild Boys. Never lose it. Always loved that when I was a kid. Very cool, because the video had a kind of Mad Max feel, and Simon Le Bon, it's a Duran Duran song. Simon Le Bon was dressed like Mad Max, very cool, and he was tied to this windmill. Do you remember this? Some of the older listeners are going, ah, a little ripple of recognition. He was tied to a windmill. It sounds weird, doesn't it? But it was in this sort of futuristic world of danger and Mad Max-iness. And he was tied to a windmill. I don't know why he was tied to a windmill. A watermill, actually. Let's be honest. Come on. And he's going round on this watermill like torture. And there's a thing in the water. And you never really... You only see it for a second. And it looks like a sort of like skinless, toothed baby creature. Terrifying. Absolute terrifying. It nearly gets him, but it doesn't. Thank God. Or we wouldn't have all the other songs that Simon Le Bon did after that. I think that might have been his last great one. But anyway, that's by the by. But yes, the Windmill Week, that's what I felt like. I felt like I was Simon Le Bon, but, you know, not as good looking. He looked a lot like Elvis, didn't he? He really did. It just occurred to me there. Colin, we love this podcast. We love hearing your thoughts on neurodiversity and sex, but you don't have to tell us everything you literally think. All right. No, guys, calm down. So, I felt like I was tied to this whirlwind of a windmill, and it was all good stuff. I had to go up to Nottingham. I had to go on a train. Trains are stressful, aren't they, if you're one of us? I got driven up, actually, because the trains were all on strike, but I got driven up. That was also weirdly stressful. And it was weirdly stressful getting in and seeing people and everything. Everything is stressful. It's stressful. It's unknown. We don't know what's going to happen. It's nice. It was the BBC New Comedy Awards. I came away with a very nice notebook, and I was judging, which was an honour. But for some reason, I felt very like, you know, the old annoying voices came in, and I was very like, I don't know if I'm good enough to judge. I don't know if people know who I am and all this stuff. And you think, shut the fuck up, you idiot. It was also like, I only had to say one thing, which was just Guz Khan, who was hosting, would say, what are you looking for in the acts? And I just had to say a thing, you know. Oh my God, that was 2 hours of panic trying to work out what the hell I was going to say. And in the end, I just, as you can imagine, waffled some shit like I am now. And it was fine. Got a sort of giggle. It was all right. But anyway, you know, buffeted around from here to there, stayed in a hotel, which sounds great, but it's, you know, unfamiliar, blah, blah, blah. You're battling not going on Twitter for hours if you're a social media addict, as I am. A social media addict, don't even like it. As with Marketplace Plus, don't even really know it exists until I get on it. And I'm like, ah, no. So then I had a read through for a very exciting thing I'm in as an actor, which I can't talk about, but there were great actors in it. And that was, you know, just... Oh, terrifying, because I'm buffeted around from... And I know it sounds great, doesn't it, doing all this stuff. I was on a train on the way back, and a whole thing happened. That's another episode. I'm putting a pin in there. There's a whole other episode in there. So what we need to... So anyway, and then the podcast and the Marketplace Plus. So all this stuff just kind of blah, 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 built up. And I got very, you know, self-doubty and blah, blah, blah. And ended up in the Plains of Paralysis. Because I tried to do so many things. I'd eaten many cakes. By the way, I hasten to add, if you're in any way involved in the industry, do not use this as an excuse to not book me. I want the work, you know. I'm just waffling. But a thing that got me, and what I want to talk about this week, right, to get out the Plains of Paralysis, something that you need is, I hate to say the phrase, a kick up the arse, because that sounds very much like the kind of voices we don't are very unhelpful. Not a kick up the arse. That's an awful idea. And what an awful idea that people say, you need a kick up the arse. Do you mean you need violence on your arse in order to do a thing? But, you know, you need a spark, a catalyst, if you will, a thing to get you out, to remind you of your hero's journey that you're on, of this journey of self-discovery and realization, you know. And one thing which... you know, could be a thing that sets you back and gets you in paralysis, the equivalent for other people of Facebook Marketplace is this whole thing that's happening at the minute, which is people saying ADHD isn't real, autism isn't real, or, you know, it is real, but loads of people are just getting it because it's fashionable, because we want it, you know. And loads of people have been on Instagram and so on and very well explained this very well, as I literally didn't with that sentence. But you can get something can make you angry or make you go, fuck you, and that can help get you out of the paralysis thing. So a big thing that happened in the sort of, and I want to be part of the neurodiverse community, but I also find all social media, as I've said, intensely stressful and makes me very ill if I'm not careful. So it's hard for me to sort of really get into that. You know, just doing this is enough. But a thing that happened recently, so Philippa Perry, you might have seen this. She is, she did an interview, I think, with The Telegraph. In all honesty, I haven't done enough research on this, so I'm talking about it quite generally, right? But I wrote a load of stuff about it. The second half of this podcast, if you haven't heard before, is always me kind of, it's my written thoughts, it's my journal. So it's a little bit more, you know, put together. And I thought, I want to write about this. If I'm going to engage in this community, I need to talk about this. My instinct is like, oh, no, it's scary. You don't want to, you know, I never like to criticize people. I certainly don't want to like have a go about people or anything. But she talked about this in The Telegraph about how people are just using it as a fashionable thing. And before that, it was bipolar. Now it's ADHD, you know. Oh, and it's incredibly upsetting. As someone put it very simply, you know, if you're someone who is going through life and struggling massively with life for all your life, and then there is a thing that you find that sort of explains it to you, and you understand what you have. I have this thing. There's not something wrong with me. I mean, there's something different about me, but I'm not a person who's just failing at everything I do. You know, there's reasons for it. So maybe I can navigate the world in a different way, maybe I can shape my world differently. And imagine people having that realization and feeling great and feeling empowered and feeling you can get out there and do things. And then someone who is a psychotherapist to turn around and go, no, you're not. No, sorry, you can't have that. No. Oh, but I feel like my life makes sense. I feel like I understand so much and my life and the pain I've been through, and I can sort of understand it, and I'm having like really positive effects because I'm putting things in place that are making things better. I'm sort of seeing what's happening, I'm noting it, and I'm realizing where that actually isn't the thing I feared or whatever, it's actually this. No, you can't have it, sorry, I'm not letting you have that. You're just saying it, you're just making it up. They're not, that person is, but you are, you're making it up. Imagine to just think like that, to want to be a person who does that is quite shocking. It's quite upsetting, isn't it? Now, as I said, I don't want to be one of those people who just lays into people. And I was quite upset by this because so she wrote a book, right? So as I say, the thing is, she is a psychotherapist. I'm not, as I say, I have no qualification on any of this other than experiencing it. But that I don't think being a psychotherapist is just like, I mean, my therapist is great, right? But I've met other therapists, I've been with other therapists who were, to use an awful word, bonkers, and just coming out with all sorts of crazy stuff, like stuff just not even related to this, but just stuff where you're like, why did you say that? The first therapist I met was like trauma. It was like, it was horrendous. That was years ago and put me off it for a long time, you know. And then I've heard other, you know, someone was telling me about a therapist they had who was ringing them up in the night because they'd had revelations about them. Do you know what I mean? So what I know people who have become therapists who are therapists where I'm like, yeah, I don't think you should ever be a therapist. And that's awful of me to say, because, you know, if you're trained and stuff, it's totally anyone should be able to be a therapist. But do you know what I mean? I'm just saying it doesn't necessarily mean, boom, their opinion is the right one. And I guess you could just, like with this, take what you want, leave the rest. You don't have to take one thing, you know. I'm not saying she should be cancelled or anything. I think things are very grey. It's not black and white. I don't want to be like, you said a wrong thing. You said a thing I don't agree with. You must never speak again. I'm not in any way thinking like that. It just, you know, it makes you upset and angry. She wrote a book, which I've got and I haven't finished, which is called something like How to Teach Your Children All the Things What Every Parent Should Read. It's something like that, right? Hello. This is Colin. I know you're already listening to Colin, but Colin's come jumping in on Colin. I'm interrupting myself right now, okay? Now, why are you doing this, Colin? So I am about to say a lot more on this podcast about the whole Philippa Perry thing, right? Now, I've decided I'm going to keep it in because I want to sort of show how I was actually feeling and express that. But I thought I should, you know, at least go on Twitter and look her up a bit more and find out what she actually said. First off, her book is actually called The Book You Wish Your Parents Had Read, which is a great title and not at all what I'm about to talk about, which is where I think it's called This Is The Book You Should Read or You're Failing. Okay. Secondly, she has come on and apologised. She said she's not having a go at ADHD, or ADHD does exist, but she doesn't like the idea of identifying, self-labeling, self-diagnosis and identifying. I still think it was cack-handed and silly, and I think a lot of what I say next is still true, and my instinct is to panic and go, oh no, I said a nasty thing about someone, I don't want to, I want to get rid of it, oh god, no. But I thought, fuck it, I'm going to keep it in. See what you think. I have huge respect for the Perrys. But yeah, I still think it was pretty fucking annoying and not great what happened. But anyway, you come to your own conclusions. Bye. Fuck. And you wish your parents had read. God, it's probably on my shelf. I can't even see it. God, come on, Colin. A little bit of preparation isn't the end of the world. By the way, I know some of you are desperate to find out what happened with the Waitrose man. Ugh, was he a goodie? Was he a baddie? He was a goodie. He was a nice guy, just the right level of discussion. Got the feeling he wanted to talk about a little bit more, you know, take it a bit further, get deep. But, you know, I wasn't in that place. I was just like, come on, give me the stuff and go. Do you know what I mean? During the break, I came up with a wonderful Irish song about Waitrose. A sort of like, we're waiting for Waitrose. Waitrose has come again. They delivered their goods and now they are gone. You know, that kind of, it was better than that. It was better than that. You didn't need any of this. I was actually, what I was saying was getting somewhere, wasn't it? But anyway, it's all fine. Also, my wife's back. She's fine. She's doing some digging in the garden while I finish this. Okay, so in case you were really like, Colin, we need to know about the Waitrose man. So, I did get that book and I didn't finish. And I'll be honest, and again, I'm not trying to be character assassinating. Partly I didn't finish because it was very boring. I found it quite boring. And I found it quite like the opposite of what I'm trying to do with this, which is I'm trying to do a sort of journey which may or may not be right, or, you know, but it's hopefully interesting and helpful, but it's not like facts. These are the things you need to do. If you want to be a good parent, you need to do this. Do you know what I mean? It's a massive bestseller. It's a huge bestseller, of course, and well done. Well done for that, Philippa. But, you know, is it the title that makes it a bestseller in a way? I mean, it worked on me. It really did. It's highly manipulative when you think about it, isn't it? A title is like what every parent should know or what every parent needs to know. It's like it's the should instead of the could, rather than sort of going, this might help. It's like going, if you don't know this, it feels like it's saying, you know, if you don't do this, if you don't buy this book, you are an instant failure, you know, because you are a parent. This book's called What Every Parent Needs to Know. If you don't buy it and read it, shame on you. That's what it's doing on some subconscious level, manipulatively. And it's very good. It's a very tried and tested technique. You know, think yourself thin. if you want to be thin, you better learn this, that kind of thing. I don't know if there's a book called If You Want to Be Thin, You Better Learn This, but there should be. And there's a level of self-assurance, dare I say, arrogance to do that. As Anna would say, fuck off, I love it, you know. I wish I had that. I really do. I wish I... You can see I'm turning a page now. I want it. I want that ability. If you listen to this podcast, you know, and I've probably already said it in the last 20 minutes, you know that I don't have any of that self-assurance. You know, I set this podcast up to try and express my feelings and journey on discovery, connecting with neurodiversity, but I'd never have the audacity to say, if you're neurodiverse, you need to listen to this. What every neurodiverse person has to know, or else. Do you know, there is a kind of implied threat, isn't it, in those sort of titles? It's almost like aggressive in that, I think. You know, with this, I even once, because I thought to try and get more people listening, I should change the title. So I call it stupid things like the Minds of Misinformation and all that. I don't know if anyone noticed, but I changed it at one point to like what you need to know to navigate social media, something like that. What you need to navigate to get around fake news and misinformation. You know, kind of titles telling you this is what you need to have. And it really works, obviously, with social media. You know, you click on something, it goes, if you've got ADHD, you need to know these things. You go, okay, right, okay, I need to know these things. And it works, obviously. That's how all the populism works and everything. But do you know what? I changed them back because I'm so not red pill, I'm so blue pill. I changed them back. Because aesthetically, I like the titles of Minds of Misinformation. I suppose in a way, it's my art, isn't it, doing this bullshit? I'm expressing something. I'm expressing a truth, I hope. And even the idea of making the title, I'm sure all those sort of... All my friends, producer Andrew, if you're listening, I hope so, and Daniel, who does the music, you're probably thinking, no, do the other thing, because that will get more hits, and then we'll get some hard cash, you know... But I want to present this journey. I want you to come with it, come on it with me and take what you will and hopefully have fun. You know, I don't want to be like, this is what you need to know. And if you don't know, you've failed. So buy it. It does work though, doesn't it? It does work. I did say I was in this, you know, partly to buy an extension and we're a long way off to buy the new kitchen. Really, in all honesty, we haven't made enough to get a new kettle. Fuck. The other thing that bothers me about this, the whole like telling everyone they're not ADHD and you can't have that, is, and I don't want to, you know, define someone by who they're married to, but she's married to Grayson Perry, the artist, you know, and she's quite kooky. All her photos, she's all kooky and bohemian. We're all very kooky and fun, you know, and Grayson Perry obviously likes to dress in these, in sort of, as I have done in the past, in sort of ladies' dresses and cool makeup and do you know what I mean? It's something a bit fun and David Bowie about it, bohemian and doing all this stuff. Do you know what I mean? And from the looks of it, you know, she's also very funky. They live this sort of eccentric life and they give off the idea that they're living this very happy, but very sort of being themselves, expressing themselves. You know, they've turned their originality into something amazing and profitable. And that's brilliant. You know, I love it. But when I read that, I felt there was an element of pulling the ladder up. And I probably need to watch what I say here, don't I? Because I'm not saying being autistic or ADHD or the other, you know, dyspraxic, dyslexic, and there are millions of others, which one day I must fucking research. By the way, on that, there is, you know, I talked about the face blindness, and I think I have an opposite one, which is, I think I know people and I don't. Like, I'm like, no, I met you, I know. And they're like, nope, we've never met. That is a thing. It's called super recognizer. Or you are a super recognizer. But it's like the opposite of face blindness. It's a real thing. So that was nice to discover that. Anyway, she'll probably tell me I'm making it up. You're making it up. Anyway, but when I read that, it did feel, yes, like the ladder was pulled up a bit, almost like a sort of elitist element. And I know I don't like to use the word elitist because, you know, Trump and so on try to create this idea of the elites. That's all bullshit. But what I mean is just this sort of like, no, we're weird. We get to like express and be our true selves, but you don't. We don't want everyone to do that because, you know, if everyone does that,
If everyone embraces that and becomes their true, weird, interesting self, you know, then we're not special. God, is that what's happening? This, reading this back, it feels a bit like character assassination. But it does feel a bit like that. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like you want to understand yourself and deal with your mental health, you know. We want you to do that. I'm a psychotherapist. That's what I want. I'm not, cheers. I want you to, you know, become better, I suppose. I want you to understand yourself and all that stuff. But not like that. I don't want you to do it like that. And I suppose they're saying, you know, people, what she was saying was that people are taking one aspect, like being late or being messy and thinking they've got ADHD. And this isn't the experience I've had. Now, I live in Brighton. It's like neurodiverse city, you know. But the experience I tend to have is if I talk about ADHD, which, as I've said, is one of the symptoms of ADHD, you tell everyone you meet you've got ADHD, people tend to be like, no, you're all right. Or they say, oh, no, I do that all the time. I don't feel like people are going around going, I've got that, I must have ADHD. I'm sure people are. I'm sure some people are. But so what? Even if they're doing that, they're on a journey. I mean, like, full disclosure, she says on it that it used to be bipolar, but now it's ADHD, which, you know, I've got to be honest, there was a point where I thought I was bipolar. And then I sort of thought about it and then think, well, actually, elements of that don't work because, I get very high and I get very low. And then, you know, the ADHD, someone expressed it to me. I watch lots. I research lots. Eventually, I got diagnosed. But that was, you sort of, so I the bipolar was a stepping stone to that. You know what I mean? And I don't take medication. I still haven't done medication. And I really don't want to because, although I am thinking I should sometimes when I get these horrible windmill weeks. But there's an element of me which I do yoga, I do my exercise, and I have my performance, and I have this. And that does seem to kind of balance things generally, you know? And I'd rather not have loads of amphetamines. You know, I've got off alcohol, I've got off cigarettes. I don't really want new drugs coming into my system. Coffee is enough, you know, and that's, I want to get off that. So yeah, it did throw me just that element. Yeah, but anyway, what I was going to say was, so if you are think you're bipolar and then you look at it and think about it and blah, 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 and then you go, oh no, actually I'm ADHD. So what? That journey happened. Great. You know, for me, it started when I did my first Anna show with depression. I discovered I had depression after my first child was born. And I sort of, not because she was born, but I suddenly had all this sadness. I was like, why have I still got this? You know, I'd always had these down moments, but somehow I'd never connected it to depression. I grew up, bizarrely, as I've said, my mum was actually a mental health nurse at one point in her life. But weirdly, we never grew up with the idea of depression didn't exist as a concept, or it existed as, oh, he's got depression, oh, that person's depressed. But it wasn't an actual thing. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't an actual condition, a thing you could do anything about or engage with. I think that's the thing. People are just engaging with it. So many, you know, my daughter says to me, Dad, you think everyone's autistic now? And I do have these, you know, I probably do think it too much, but there's so many people who do. I think, oh, just having this wonderful revelation, it's like such a eye-opening thing, and you don't know how awful and hard a lot of these people, you know, myself included, I mean, our lives have been brilliant for many reasons. I'm not, you know, people have much worse lives. I did a show the other day, and there was a bit of ADHD in it, and there's a lot about ADHD, and this guy came up to me afterwards from South Africa, and he was saying, yeah, it's great, you know, but he liked the show, you know, but he's like, yeah, things with ADHD, we don't really think about that where I'm from, because basically we just think about hunger and food and stuff and poverty. I was like, yeah, fair enough, you know. So there is, I can understand that element where you know, But it's still really important, man. It's like the idea of the pain you can go through in life. It's so easy, man, to just go through this pain and not realize, oh, there's reasons. Difficulty just dealing with life, you know. Maybe in 10 years someone will go, oh, actually that diagnosis is wrong, you didn't have ADHD. I mean, or, you know, the part of this journey is to discover if I am autistic. Someone go, no, actually I don't think you are. I mean, that's the other weird thing is, you know, two therapists can say a completely different thing, or two psychiatrists, you know, who actually decide it, who give the diagnosis, can be completely different. There's loads of things in my kids' school of parents who have, you know, had one thing from one person, one thing from another, you know. And I can understand the fear of over-medicating people. And I can understand, I guess there's a fear of like reducing people who are suffering or very clearly have autism or ADHD and are battling it. And there's a potential that, I guess, it's, I don't know, is there a fear that it's belittling it? I don't think it is. I mean, I think it's, it was a very ugly thing to see. And it was in the Telegraph, won't lie. Didn't read the whole thing because I don't like to read the Telegraph. I, in all honesty, and I don't like when people do this because I think you should always at least know what you're talking about to some degree, or at least read the thing. But I didn't read the whole article. I just read that bit which another ADHD person had put on social media and discussed. It does make me think a little bit of like with the trans debate or an element of it, you know, where there are a lot of people who are vocally anti-trans, or at least they're anti-people identifying. And there is that slight minor element where they're like, oh no, it was all right when, you know, there was only a few of them, but not too many. Some of you, loads of you are just making it up. You're just making it up. And it's like, well, how do you know? You know? And this idea that, oh, everyone's just pretending they're whatever now. And it's like, what I find weird in terms of pulling that ladder up, what I find kind of hilarious is when you get people who are like vocally anti-trans and then are like the biggest David Bowie fans. It's like people who are homophobic and then they're like the biggest fans of Queen and Elton John and stuff. It's mad. And David Bowie, I don't think, was trans. But just, do you know what I mean? The stuff he used to wear and dress up, and it is that kind of like, oh no, you can't have that. No, you can't be that. No, no, you're wrong. No, they're right, but you're wrong. No, 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 no. You can't have that, sorry. Anyway, fucking hell, come on, mate. It just feels such an elitist thing. You know, we can be different. We can be special, but you can't. You can't, you know. Wow. So there you go. I hope that is okay. As I say, I don't have a go at people, especially people I like and admire. I'm not here to like cancel them. I hate all that stuff. But I'm just, it made me quite wound up and angry, you know. I struggle with anger. It's quite a common autistic thing, apparently, where you don't really know you're angry, or you can't vocalize. You can't, people say, are you angry? And you go, no, I'm not angry. It's very hard to recognize it, weirdly. You can get irritated and like, oh, I'm annoyed, but not angry. But I guess I was quite angry. And it's just quite sad. It just made me think a lot. And I hope that's... Anyway, the reason I'm telling you this is that sometimes you just need that thing to propel you out, you know? I was thinking about Bob Dylan. He was refused, when he was starting out, refused at this hotel with his... he might have been with Joan Baez. And they didn't let him stay there because, you know, he looked too bohemian kind of thing. And that night he went and wrote The Ship Comes In, which is this furious, a bit like, if you know, Pirate Jenny by Bertolt Brecht, which is about this a woman working in, I think, a brothel, and she's looking at these rich guys and like, one day we're going to take over. We're going to, you know, we're going to be back and we're going to, the pirate ship will appear and destroy you all kind of thing. And when the ship comes in, it's very similar. It's probably inspired by it. It ends with like Goliath, they will be conquered. ends with that line. It's just pure rage and fury coming out of him. And just because these people said, sorry, mate, you can't stay in this hotel. But use it, is what I'd say, to get out of the planes of paralysis. I'm not saying look around for a fight, but just, I guess, by thinking what's got you into this place of paralysis. And then maybe you can just let a thing come in that reminds you of your hero's journey that we're all on. Hero's journey, such a wank thing, isn't it? But you know what I mean? Your story, your path, your discovery. All life is discovery, learning, curiosity. I did an acting class the other day. Wonderful. I haven't done one for years. And a lot of people with a lot of my peers and stuff are a bit like kind of down on this acting class type idea, you know, and they're kind of like, you know, God, oh, we're going to pretend to be a tree again, all that kind of thing. But I did it. It was one of the best days I've had for ages. Keep curious, keep listening, keep learning, keep finding, keep back on your journey. And sometimes if you need something to piss you off to do it, it's good. With all my shows that have gone well, at some point, someone, normally my lovely producer of the shows, not the podcast, Owen, who I love to bits, I've mentioned him before, but he, when I was doing The Death of Anna Mann, they'd always get this point where I was like, right, it's done. I'm not doing it anymore. And he comes to the preview and he's like, yeah, I think keep going with that bit. I think maybe there's something more to look at that. And I'd be like, fuck you, I finished, it's over. But he was right. He was always right. And it kept going. And you kept finding more, me, kept being more curious, and it ended up, you know, my most successful show. And it was nice. It was lovely. So when these things get ya, you know, when an automaton rejects ya, or someone puts some sort of quite broad, generalized thing which makes you question your whole identity and search for understanding of yourself, use it to wind you up and just propel you out of the planes of paralysis. Boots, maybe. Yeah, special magic boots. Boots of fury. The boots of fury. Watched Doctor Strange again the other day. Baron Mordo, he jumps around on those boots. Choop, choop, choop. It's great. So use those things. Maybe they can get you out. Don't look for a fight. I don't know how you find something that makes you angry. When you think about it, there's probably something that has squashed you down, like someone just being flippant or being cruel or just rejecting you or rejecting your identity, and that's made you go and shrink like Ant-Man, but not in a cool way, but become like a little like and make you feel small, and then flip it and go, oh no, it's not me, fuck that person. Shut up, you know, this is my hour that the ship comes in. Maybe not now, but one day it will. Great. Thanks so much for listening. Here is the goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for listening to Into the Neuroverse with me, Colin Holt. You can find me on Twitter at Colin Holt, on Instagram at Colin Holt Comedy. You can support the podcast if you like it and want to keep it going. Money is the best way to keep things going. Go to patreon.com/Colin Holt and you can pay me anything up to £1 billion a week. And I will happily take it. Any more than that is just greedy. A big thank you to @EyesOnLegs, who did the music for this. So find him on Twitter and so on if you want to get him to do music for you. @EdShots, who did the original photograph. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all your support. And please do rate, subscribe, review, and like wherever you can. And I'll keep doing this as long as anyone's interested. That could include myself. I do lose interest very quickly. Also, make sure you check out my website. I am colinholt.com for all the latest news. Contact United Agents if you want to book me for any gigs or acting work or dancing work. I'm actually a very good dancer, or anything like that. Or if you want to contact me direct, it's colinholtcomedy@gmail.com. Thank you. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.